Some of y'all may have seen me and my dad go back and forth in the office. You know you're in a prophetic house, right?
Amen.
Okay. There's more to the prophetic than just prophecy. You understand that, right? There's more. As we were in worship, the Lord dropped an image in my spirit, and I didn't know what it was. And then I kept asking God, what is it? 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 And it just shifted, and bam, it came to me. And I saw this skyscraper. This skyscraper has a very unique slant to it. So I ran to the back and got on the internet to look for the skyscraper. I said, why? Why is this so important? David, go ahead and put up that one on Bing. I want to show you. On Wednesday night, I said for some of y'all to do this, is to bring your camels. This is Bing. This is nothing that I did. This is something that's on the actual internet right now with Bing. Some of y'all know what the camels are? Do you understand what camels are? What is it? Is it ours?
Oh. Oh, look at that. Oh, wow.
Amen. Wow. Okay, now y'all got me all messed up. Can y'all see it? Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, get out of town. Michael, come hold this. Oh. In our home, let love abide and bless all those who step inside. Okay, look. So y'all have me all messed up. Okay, this just is because I just turn on the internet, open up the internet, and that comes up by itself.
Amen.
Now, as I'm sitting there, yeah, go ahead. Come and hold it. As I'm sitting there and I see this building, and I guess, Kathy, you were looking it up on yours or something. The Lord just dropped it in my spirit, this particular building. And as I looked it up, there's two very defined buildings that have this same slant. A certain individual in this house may understand where this is going. This building is in Singapore, and the other one is in Hong Kong. It's in the World Financial District. Didn't say just the District of Hong Kong. The building's there, but it's the World Financial District. I said, God, is there an imminent attack? What's going on? Wednesday night, we got into a scripture. The camels are coming. I think you read it out off the phone. The camels are coming. Camels represent that the king send. They send the goods. The camels are loaded down and they come in. I don't want camels coming right now to me. Just go ahead and wire it to my account. Now, my wife comes in to my office as I'm studying. And she tells me somebody takes money out of my son's account. Just like you take out of our accounts, some things are going to be put into your accounts. Now I feel the Holy Ghost so strong. I feel it so strong. The building that is in Hong Kong is the World Financial Money Exchange. I want you to hear something. Hear something very, very clear. There has been a strong man concerning the finances over the globe. And as you hear on the TV that we are now on a fiscal cliff, correct? Were we not just with the group of pastors talking about how in 2013, March of 2013, that there could be an actual change of events that could be equal to that which of the Great Recession. Now, the Bible tells me and those that believe and fear God that 1,000 shall fall at your right, 10,000 on your left, but it shall not fall nigh unto you. Now, I've watched these shows on TV that they say that they're gathering for what can be waters and all kinds of canned goods, non-perishable items. That could be wisdom. My faith tells me this, that God is going to watch his seed. Yes. Point to yourself, your seed. Yes. You're his seed. Yes. You're Abraham's seed. Yes. You're his and you're Abraham's seed. And he's going to watch you till your destiny is fulfilled. Amen. And I don't know about you, but in March in 2013, I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going to fall prey to a society that feels that we're going to lose everything. We are going to gain everything that is rightfully ours. And what he tells me in his word is this. I have blessed you and I have blessed you abundantly. Now that this particular thing comes into my spirit during worship, I hear the Lord saying, I am invading the banks of world currency. And what has been held up is being loose. What has been held in systems, see, watch this, the devil works in systems, but God works and owns everything. Sometimes it takes a prophet in the land to speak against a thing so things can change. And I'm here to prophesy to you, not just your camels, but I'm here to prophesy your accounts will be full. Amen. Pressed down, shaken together. Overflowing, that man shall give unto your bosom. Yes,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Why are we saying all this before the week of Thanksgiving? So that you can be thankful. You may have lost some stuff. It may have been accumulation of things that happened over this past year, last year, 3 years. Who knows how long? But Wednesday night, I said, it ain't over. It ain't over. I don't care what the calendar says. I don't care what the clock says. God is telling you today, it ain't over. It may seem like it's something that ain't going to come to pass, but it's going to come to pass. Because thus saith the Lord of hosts, loose and let my people go. And when they came out of Egypt, they came with silver, gold. But they also came with things so they can worship God. Amen. I don't know about you, but don't bring me no cow in here. Don't bring me no ox. Don't bring me no bull and try to slaughter it for your offering. No, what you bring to the house of God nowadays is the currency called money. Amen. And God honors that like if it was a shed blood. What are you going to show me?
That's the letter that I just received.
Started with the paper.
Did I not grab you before she came in? I didn't know you were here. I didn't know you were coming. I grabbed him. I said, Alan, there is something about a building that looks like this. I drew it. I can't draw. I said, it's got a slant. I don't know what it is. It's a slant. I had looked it up in the back. I think the guys thought I was going to come change the music. And I was just flipping through. And all of a sudden, I said, this is the one. I know this is it. This is it. So then when he comes back and shows me on his phone, it's Hong Kong. Shows me Hong Kong. And then I saw the other one. But I know one thing that's for sure, that God is speaking. He's speaking. Maybe some of you and I can feel it, and forgive me for being this way, but I'm not playing around. And I don't mean to be like, well, Pastor gets in his flesh, he gets mad. If someone's going to come in your house and mess with your children, are you going to politely say leave because that's the Christian thing to do?
No.
No. You're going to tear them up. Then you can ask them to leave if they live. But here's the thing. I'm tired of the enemy messing with our stuff. And Wednesday night, I said, I labor for this house. This is what I said. I said, I don't care about nothing else right now. I labor for this house. And when I pray and when you mess with my fasting, it's for this house. The key. The key is the Word of God. The Word of God goes forth and it brings forth the manifestations. We don't understand what was said last night, prophetess. The process. We don't know why it takes so long. But you're going to understand the process come Thanksgiving Day. Because before you can put that yard bird inside that oven, you got to prep it. You got to remove the neck bone, the gizzards. You got to get everything ready. And for some of y'all that know what brining is, where you soak the turkey in salt for a little bit so that it's not juicier, that's called the process. You put that in the oven, it ain't going to come out juicy right away. It's got to bake for a while. And some of y'all know how to put it in a paper bag, you know. You just kind of oil the whole bag up, season the whole thing, and you put it in there. Some things in the process you just can't see. And your turkey ain't going to come out good just because you put it in there and take it out within an hour. It's the process. And for some of you Puerto Ricans in here and some Spanish people in here, when you're making rice, don't lift up the lid. You got to let it sit there. And if you like it like I like it, let it burn on the bottom a little bit so you can get some big ow. It's a process. It's a process. We may not like it, but after the process is done, you hear ding. It's time to dig in. It's time to dig in. Dig in. Y'all think I'm talking about food now. Dig in.
Hallelujah.
You're going to do the tithes and offering after I'm done, because I'm gonna just jump. Y'all can sit down with that. That is beautiful. Thank you. I thank you for the gifts. Thank you. Go ahead and just cut that off. We've been in a process, haven't we?
Yes.
I don't like it.
Long one.
I don't. It don't feel good. Because then when you get put in the oven, they have what they call oven light. Uh-huh. Like you really want people looking at you when you're in the process.
Well.
Turn that thing off. I don't want to be seen. Don't want to be heard. I don't even want to be smelt with yet, you know, because I ain't smelling all good. Matter of fact, I smell a little raw because I ain't done yet. Ooh. Lord. All right. Miss Lisa, are you taking kids back? Okay, let's do the five and under. That's how you're doing? Okay, five and under. Go with Miss Lisa back there. Oh, precious child, precious child, precious, precious. Come on, little children. Stand right there, stand right there. Don't take them in yet. Don't take them in yet. Stand right there. Congregation, I want you to stand your hands to these precious children right now. Father, bless them. Keep them. Bless the teachers, their helpers, their assistants, Lord. But most of all, bless their desire for more room. Bless their desire, Father, for a playground, a gym. Bless their desire, Father God, for more of what they need, Lord. Together we come in agreement that we shall receive more in an abundance of what you so desire on their behalf. So, Father, together we just thank you for what you're doing and what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. God bless you. That's just timely, girl. That's just timely. Just timely. I want to get in this real quick, not to say that it's going to be a fast message, but God is speaking. He is speaking. Last week we talked about Isaac and, Elisha, thank you. Burning up the yokes. Burning up what's had you bound in your past. Letting go and going forward. Now, not all the time is going to be feeling good when you let go. Some things that you let go hurt. If I would have my mom come and tell her testimony about her son, which is your pastor, it's not easy letting go. Because I went to a time of rebellion. And in that time of rebellion, I was very, very difficult to my mother. And during that time, she gave me over to God. And she put her Isaac on the altar. Her Isaac, your pastor, needed to be sacrificed. And God began to move on my behalf because of her prayers. Amen. The letting go and burning up the yokes, it ain't easy. It's hard. Matter of fact, sometimes you don't want to put that precious one on that altar because that's the one that you hold on dear. Now, I'm the only child. Call me the brat if you want to. But when I'm hungry, I get my mole. I get my caldo when I'm sick. Yeah. And when I want conchitas, I get my conchitas. But here's the beautiful thing. I ain't the only one that gets it. Other people benefit from it too. Mm-hmm. For mama to put me on the altar during my trying times, you know, because I thought I had all the answers. Because, you know, when you're teenagers, you think you got it all. You got this. Yeah. Teenage years in high school are one thing. Start becoming a young adult. Mm-hmm. I guess there's some mamas in the house, huh? Put me on the altar and said, I give you to God. Good. I can do this by myself anyhow. I don't need you. Don't look at me strange. You know, you did the same thing to your parents because you thought you knew it all to begin with. Mm-mm. You had to learn how to trust God. You had to learn how to, what God was in your life. That mama was not my resource. Mama was not my bank account, but God was. And in order for me to grow up to be a man, I had to learn something. I had to learn something about money. I used to go to mama and say, Ma, I ain't got money for my car. Mama just paid it out. Remember that, mama? Mama, I don't have money for my insurance for my car. You know what mama told me? You got to do it on your own. You got your own apartment. Pay the insurance. I thought I had this one, girl. I thought I had this. Well, if I don't pay my insurance, that's a little bit extra money I have in my pocket. I'm going to scheme a little bit. I'm going to go fishing one morning. Get a couple of my buddies. Let's go fishing, man. We'll go in my car. Brand new car. I got to. So we head down to the river. Starts raining. This knucklehead don't know how to drive because I'm a young whippersnapper. As I come back from the river, seemed to me like it was the River Jordan. Transition took place in my life at that moment. I didn't know what hydroplaning was. Slam on your brakes. You have no control. Lord Jesus, I need you now. And as the vehicle in front of me kept getting closer and closer and closer, I knew there was a God. I knew there was a God. I hit this car so hard that my beverages went flying forward. It was not coffee, hot chocolate. But my friends also did not go forward like I didn't, but everything else did. And when I hit this vehicle, you know the first thing that came to mind? My insurance. What is? Yours truly gets on the phone, Mama. Mama. Mommy. Mommy. I had an accident. We'll call your insurance and make the report. Mama. Mommy. Ma. Mom. What's wrong with you? I didn't pay my insurance. It canceled last month. Hello? You know how moms do. Mijo, when are you going to learn? What'd you do with the money? The beverages went flying. Y'all can laugh with me now, right? So now what I had to do is go and figure out how I was going to get this thing fixed. Mama put me on the altar. She put me on the altar. Isaac knew something about being put on the altar. He knew that God would come through because he's seen it come through in his life, for his life. Correct? Get in your Bibles, please. Go to Genesis 26, please. We are going to trek in the Word for a little bit. Genesis 26, if you don't know where that is, it's the first book of the Bible. And I say this in love. Genesis is the beginning of things, the creation of things. Isaac has an understanding of what sacrifice is. What I do see here is that Isaac is going to experience something that he hadn't experienced before. In Genesis 26, now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham, his father. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land which I shall tell you." All right, now I want you to just understand something about Egypt. Egypt was a place where the Israelites came out of their bondage. And it was a very wealthy place. Egypt is known as a system, the world system. Say, financial system. Say, banking system. See, yeah, I did start looking over my notes here, and I was going to go back to Elijah and Elisha. But when I saw that building, I said, "Lord, there's something about this. I don't know what it is." And I heard financial district. I said, "God, you're doing something, aren't you?" Then he reminded me of the conversation we had with the pastors on Thursday concerning what is to come in 2013. I said, "God, you got to speak to us because we're your children and we're crying out. We need change. We need something different." This is what he said. Remember that Wednesday? Give me something to drink, sir. "Sow in the time of famine." So. Thank you. Excuse me. I bind that devil in the name of Jesus. Verse 2 says, "The Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands. I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham.'" Now, read number 4. pay very close attention to it as you're reading it. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and I will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That's a very powerful word from the Lord to Isaac. Very powerful. In other words, he's not just addressing Isaac. He's addressing Isaac, his children, and his children's children. That's a transgenerational blessing that it continues, right? Now, this is so beautiful. Watch this. Let's continue on. Number 5, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, so Isaac lived in Gerar. When the men of the place asked about his wife, he said, she is my sister, for he was afraid to say my wife, thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. Now, he wasn't just blessed. He had a fine wife. I just got to go there, babe. I just got to. When you can treasure your spouse, this is going to bless you. We also had Wednesday, we had a group of young ladies.
Amen.
We had a group of young ladies that wanted to be married.
Yes.
And they stood here.
Yes.
A whole line of them.
Nine.
Fruitfulness. To 10 by the Spirit. You got it. Completion in order. That's right. That's good. Perfected order. She says, I was here in the Spirit. I was one in the back saying, go ahead, Pastor, preach. She was here. Here's what I want to show you. He got fearful. He said something. So he lied, right? You can read there. He lied. So does lying eliminate you from your blessing? What? I thought we were Christians. We're not supposed to lie. So that means he's not going to get his blessing now because he lied. How many of us have... No, don't raise your hand. How many of us have done something that is not pleasing unto the Lord? Y'all raise them anyhow. Okay. So does that mean you're disqualified?
No.
No. You're only qualified for his grace and his mercy. Doesn't say that you're going to lose out on your blessing. Matter of fact, it has nothing to do with your works, has nothing to do with your righteousness. It's merely the fact that he spoke it and it lingered there and waited until he got into position to receive the possession. Sometimes the process makes you go through a land in a time of a famine to get you into position so that everybody else that is not connected with you can go back to their slavery, go back to Egypt, go back to a system that had them bound. But if you stand where God tells you to stand, you get into position to receive your possession.
Yes.
One thing that I do remember, I got in position when my mama said, I give you to God. Yes. I didn't forget about my story. Now I'm going to tell my story. She gave me to God, lost my job, lost my marriage, lost my car. I had to go get me a J-O-B, another job. And in this job, I did not want to really be there because I felt this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be doing other things other than this. But in the midst of being in this job, I got trained up to learn some things about governmental authority in the workplace. I learned something about just being just an employee, but to becoming an employer. I got put in a system so I can learn something about how to hire people and how to bring about good people into this job. And all of a sudden, this woman walks in the process of an interview. And I, what you said now? I'm still in the Bible now. Rebecca was fine. So when Rebecca walked in, I said, what's your name? And she looked at me. I said, what's your name is? What's your name is? And she did exactly as she did right now. Get behind me, Satan. She looked at me like that. She did. Had to get in position so that I can take possession of destiny. But it started when Mama put me on the altar. Walk with me, baby. Walk with me. Walk with me. Trina, you're going to have to probably start sitting in the front row because... See, I'm going to just tell my story because it's a story. I messed up my first marriage. Oh, I done messed it all up. Got in my second marriage. I done messed it all up really, really bad. Then all of a sudden, my mama says, you know what? You're just going a little crazy with your life. You disrespecting me. You disrespecting everything I'm going through and what I'm trying to do for you. So I've got to give you to God. Well, I thought that was the best thing in my life. Give me to God. Whatever. The process began, and I didn't quite understand why the process was so hard. And in this process, I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to do all the drugs that I could to make me go bye-bye without really hurting myself. Do you understand? See, there is a spirit called a suicide spirit. For escapism is what leads to that. So I was trying to escape from all of my pain, all of my shortcomings, because, you know, I was very just, I just had a lot of shortcomings, just messed up bad. And I wanted my past to go away. But it wasn't going away. So I said, God, you know, I'm gonna do every drug in the book that I can find. As long as it don't really hurt me where if I go, at least I can go in my sleep. That's what I was thinking. So then my drug of choice became my alcohol. I saw my daddy drink himself into the grave. But I said, you know what? He was happy. He went through a lot, so I'm going to do the same thing. So I started doing the same thing, but the pain wasn't going away. But when she gave me to God, I started learning something about myself. That even to this day, I start to see little glimpses that there was something inside of me that somebody else would see inside of me that was good. My Rebecca saw me. And she didn't see the person that was trying to hurt himself, kill himself. But she saw something good inside of me. She saw deep inside my spirit, in my heart. She didn't know God. I didn't know God. But Rebecca knew something about me that nobody else did. She knew that deep down inside of this mess, there was a jewel just waiting to come out. Amen. So when I get to this place, because Mama let me go and I had to do what I had to do, she walks in because she needs a job. She's going through a tough time. She's getting divorced. Now, when you tell a player, trying to help you women in here, yeah, right? Am I not telling the truth? When you tell a player, see, I already messed up twice, so I'm just going to tell them myself. I messed up on two other marriages and blamed every woman on earth be the problem. Not me. I'm a good man. And then I don't see this woman come in. I say, ooh, I thought I had tongues, but I got tongues. Okay. I didn't know what I was saying. Didn't know I was a prophet. Stand up, Joshua. She didn't like me at all. Matter of fact, I don't know if she was a praying woman, but she began to pray a lot for me to leave her sight. Turn around, baby, face your other son. And she's walking out one day. Players in this house, listen to me. When God has a plan, he finds a way to get his plan fulfilled. So your knucklehead pastor didn't know he was a prophet. Grabs hold of her hips. I said, these hips are made for giving babies. Yes, and she don't, you know, just like y'all did, what? And I said, you're going to give me a son. Oh, really? Really? Say hello to my son. That's what happened. His name is Joshua. salvation. So when all this taking place, she's like, I don't like you. I don't want to be near you. Mama put Isaac on the altar so Isaac could find his Rebecca. And Isaac could find his Joshua. Amen. Well, you, huh? Follow the lineage of Isaac and you'll find Joshua. You don't understand when things got to be. Thank you, Josh. You can sit down. You don't understand the process, but you don't also understand what's going to come in the blessing at the end of the process, which is your promise. Do you understand? Isaac knew something. He knew that if someone was going to come and kill him, who was going to protect his Rebekah? Sometimes I wonder if I happen to go prematurely for any reason, I worry about who's going to take care of my possession, my children, my wife. Y'all probably not gonna like this. I'm not concerned about the ministry. I'm concerned about my wife and my children. The ministry, somebody should take up and run with it. But my family, nobody could do that. So I worry, and that's why Isaac was worried. He was scared, and he wanted to lie. And so when his Rebekah was taken and given to someone else, can you imagine what Isaac was going through? That's his beautiful, beautiful possession. Possession is not a bad thing in a relationship. It's how you handle your possession that is bad. Amen. He cherished the possession to see her. Some of you married people in here, can you imagine your cherished possession being in the arms of someone else? That's exactly what I would do. No, but he was so fearful. He had just got a blessing from God. Don't go to Egypt. Stay here. And then he has to do what was done to him. He gave his own Isaac up. Then the king sees that he is so blessed, but he sees the affection towards his Rebekah. He says, oh, wait a minute. Why have you done this to me? This is your wife, not your sister. Take her and be blessed so nothing comes against me. Can you imagine the rejoicing of Isaac and Rebekah when they got restored? Can you feel that? Some of you beloveds that have been in here, been in relationships that have been torn apart, ripped apart, and you can't see the end. You can't see how things are going to turn around. I want to tell you and prophesy to you that things will turn around based upon your heart towards him and how you display his heart in your heart towards others. God's going to turn things around for you. He didn't forget you, nor did he forget your children, your Isaacs that were placed on the altar. He's going to see it be returned back to you, back into its position, so that you can get the blessing. That was just a little side where we were going, but now I'm going to get you back into the word and show you something. Go to verse 12, Genesis 26, verse 12. Now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. I'm going to put my seed in the ground, but in that same year, I'm going to reap 100-fold of what I sowed? Amen. What did it say right after that, though? And the Lord blessed him. Now, wait a minute. 100-fold is a blessing to me. That's already money coming back to me. My harvest is good. I'm doing great. But then it continues on that he blessed them. God blessed them. I'm here to tell you, in your famine and what's going on here in the United States concerning all of this, you got people all mad. Oh, Obama got elected again. Don't you know that God knows what's going on in this land? Don't you know what he is going to do is to bring this into fulfillment? Whether you vote or don't vote, guess who's going to be in office? His man. And then they get all mad. Well, he's not a Christian. Neither was the other. Neither was anybody else. And the Christian that was running didn't make it, did he? Sometimes God has to put somebody in office to get his desired end. Sometimes you got to have a Judas in the midst of you. Sometimes you got to be sitting, eating, carrying on. But a Judas has to be in your life to get you to the desired end. Don't hate the Judas in your life. You got to understand it takes you to where you need to go. Guess who that Judas is? Your process. Your process is your Judas. It has a tendency to kiss it. Because the process don't go away. It's a part of you. You try to move away from the process, guess what? It's on you. You try to run away from the process, it's on you. I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast. It's on you. I'm going to rebuke this process. It ain't gone nowhere, has it? Because it's the hand of God on your life to get you through the process to get you to your promise. So why is it that he sows in the time of famine, but he reaps in that same year? Oh, this is so beautiful. Verse 13, the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. What? How? Oh, Lord, why you got to do this to me now? When you start off one way, not the school of your desired choice, not to be with the desired one, but that you would have influence and you would meet other nationalities, then all of a sudden get to a place where you now desire and it just flows. Joseph. Do you know what Joseph was really pronounced like? This is going to blow your mind. Joseph us. Don't believe me? Read your word. It's in there. Joseph us. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, my son. Did you get that one, Hannah? You got that one. Let me prophesy to you, son. He watched it. He watched it. And he watched it. And the word came to pass. You're not going to labor hard, but your labor won't be in vain either. Where God is going to take you is because of your desired end. That's why you have now inside of you what you didn't have before. You have drive, determination, and a non-quitting spirit. Amen. And when it gets hard, you've learned to dig in. You've learned to stay up late and get up early. You've learned to finish what you started. And you've learned to do things. You think it was on your own, but he did it with you because you kept praying, help me, because there's no one there that can help me anymore. Am I in your business? Yes, that's what God is saying. I'm in your business, man, because I know what you desire. Your process was tough, and it's going to be a process. That's everyday life, but he's going to see your desired end. You will take part. Oh, I hear this so strong. And you will stand before the ring. And you will drink of the cup of the ring that he promised you. How can you get there if I'm not there yet? But the process guarantees you into there. You hear me? Oh, man. Oh, my God. Man, I know you hear the Spirit of God because he spoke to you very clear. Now just receive, man. Just receive. Whew. Got me all off of track, but it's amen. I think I was on 13. Yes, 13. Lucky 13. And man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks, herds, and great households, so that the Philistines, who?
The Philistines.
Once again, who? What does your Bible say right after the Philistines?
We're envious.
Envious. jealous. Who were the Philistines to Isaac? Cricket. The enemy. The enemy. Oh, let me just continue on. Go down to verse 18. If you get that one. Then Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, for the Philistines had stopped them up. I don't know about you, but I can get my dance on right there. Amen. See, when the Philistines want to come and stop your blessing, God may say something. Oh, hear me now. God didn't unclog his wells for him. It said that Isaac dug yet again. There is a key that we must do. When he says it, do it. Even when it don't make sense. He was blessed. He blessed his herd. Maybe I need to tell him, Natalie. Gave him a lot of animals in the wilderness. There's not a lot of water source there. Sometimes your blessing is going to make you work. It's going to make you work so much to provide for what he blessed you with. Oh, prophetess. We can try to skate some things out the way. You know, put on the rollerblades. Or if you're like me, you put on those roller skates that you used to go to rollercade and just. Well, you know what I'm saying. And you got to try to skate the issue. You ain't going to work hard. No, you're going to work. Why? Because when he blesses you so that he can continually bless you some more. It's not just for you. It's for everybody else that's connected to you. The problem is you have people that don't want to be with you when you ain't got nothing. All you got is just a word. And then they want to leave because they don't see the fruit of your word. They don't see the fruit of your word. They want to escape back to Egypt. Be still. And when he says he dug again. Oh. But he had to dig so many. Oh, Lord. Because he was so wealthy. He had to keep digging and digging and digging just so he could water his blessing. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yeah, y'all don't. Thank you, Lord. Did you get it? Yeah. Amen. Watch this. This is beautiful. Verse 19. We've only gone a couple of verses. Y'all working me today. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley, where? Yeah. That means when you're going through, dig. And found there a well flowing of water. The herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, the water is ours. How many of you have ever been there? You get so blessed, somebody else wants to get mad at you. That's ours. I ain't seen you dig it. I ain't seen you laboring with me. But look at what Isaac did. Dally, Charlie, Wally. So he lets them have it. This is church folk. Okay. 21. Then they dug another well. And they quarreled over it too, so he named it Sitnah. Sitnah here. He moved away from there and dug another well. Three wells. And they did not quarrel over it, so he named it Rehoboth. For he said, at last the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Then he went up from there to Beersheba. The Lord appeared to him that same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my covenant with Abraham.
Yes. Yes.
This is beautiful. He just blessed them. That next verse is very, very important for you Christians. So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug another well. You just ain't going to get blessed. And oh, that's it. I'm good. Done. No. You ever wonder why you hadn't got yours yet? Because maybe you may have that tendency deep inside that you don't know that when I get it, I'm just not going to have to work no more. Oh, no. You're going to get blessed so that you can work even the more. So that when God comes through, Isaac built an altar there saying, it wasn't by my hand, it wasn't by my might, it wasn't by my strength, but by the Spirit of God that gave what he said he was going to give to his father Abraham that was given now to his son. And he pitched a tent there. How about wanting to live in the place of blessing? Correct? Let's live in a place of blessing, not in a place of lack, not in a place of fear. So in this recession so-called that we're in, and it doesn't matter what president is in office, it does not matter. It's been there from the beginning. It's been going through. People think that the president is going to change everything. Presidents of old have not. Presidents of today cannot, and presidents of tomorrow cannot. Some things are inevitable. Things have to happen. And when they happen, it's because it's taken us to our desired end. All right, now. I tell you, we're going to go to another. We're going to go somewhere. We are. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. 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 A foreigner in the land. Did that hit you? Did y'all think that because this foreigner is going to be the one? Of disobedience, huh? Uh-huh. Sure. And that's beautiful. Do you know that other foreigners in the land are still going to come? Uh-huh. Do you believe everything that you read and hear in the newspapers and on TV? Now, here's I want you guys to see something. Do you believe everything that you hear and see on TV? Why? Because it's what? Oh, it's censored? Oh, you mean man has his hand in it? Oh, okay. Yeah. I read from the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, that man has always put his hand on something, and God has to step in. And when God steps in, he brings the desired in. Guess who the foreigner is? God. Oh, did I just rock your world there? God is no longer the God of this nation, is it? Oh, now we have Islams. Now we have all these other type of religions. Didn't I not just teach on this a while back? God isn't the predominant force anymore within our government. So who becomes now the foreigner? God. And I'm glad you brought that up. Okay. Second Kings 2. God is in the details.
Amen.
Details. Amen. Hallelujah. He is in the details. Yes, he is. Yes. Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up. I am so glad. That was perfect timing. It was. Watch. Because I'm gonna show you proof right here. I'm gonna show you proof. And this is just for everybody. Do you know that the people that don't believe in the Bible will run to the Bible in times of tough times? People that don't believe in the God will run to a God that they don't believe in. You know that, right? So God is no longer the driving force of this nation, correct? Because the one that is running our government, and which is not the president, because he really isn't, he's just the one that signs. You can get that straight and you don't get it all twisted. The government is so bent, and I want you to look at your neighbor and say, hello, government. You, we, the people, are the government. If your voice is silenced, they will turn to someone else who is vocal. So for so many years, we the people, say hello government, have been silenced. And came now a certain individual that began to teach people that there should be a separation from God and government. And drive God out of the government founding fathers. What? Watch this now. Watch this. Oh, we can get mad. This is hot. I tried. I tried.
I know you did.
Let me just get a little comfortable. Now look. Now, I'm good. Thank you. I'm good. Thank you. The government began to listen to people who were atheists that don't have a God, but if now atheism has become now a religion. Huh? I don't believe in God, but my religion is atheist. Okay. Gotcha. Watch this. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, government.
Hello, government.
We were silenced. That was just timing. 2 Kings 2. You there? I'm going to talk to you a little bit. Then it came about afterwards that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go? Kings, not Samuel, Martin. Kings. Help me, Jesus. Jesus, help me on my journey. Help me on my way. And it came about when the Lord was about to take up Elijah by a whirlwind to heaven that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said unto Elisha, Stay here. Mm-hmm. Stay here. Please, for the Lord has sent me for us Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you not know the Lord will take away your master? Master. Say master.
Master.
Master from you today. He said, yes, I know. Be still. Do you know that people have a tendency to watch things take place? And they think you don't know. But sometimes you just got to be still. I know this. Be still. So Elisha's watching Elijah like, man, boy, you something else, man. Verse 4, Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho approached Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master? Again? Do you know that master is in reference to the headship? The prophets were the voices of the kingdom. Your master has been taken out of government a long time ago, which is God. The prophets have been twice removed out of office that used to come to the White House to speak truth to the leaders. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, government. You have been silenced too long. But God has a plan to show up, show off, and show himself strong.
Jesus.
All right. I just want to show you about master, headship. We're talking about headship and government. Mm-hmm. Go down now to 12, verse 12. 2 Kings 2, verse 12. Whew. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen, and he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. I'm going to just go in this direction for a minute. I may not get to the rest. What did he say? Who did he cry out to?
Father.
Father. Father. Oh, father. Why? He is looking for the governing body that was the one that was leading him to places he must go. When he went up, this is what Elisha did. He ripped his own garments off. We're so caught up in having everybody else dictate to us what we're supposed to do that we are so caught up in our own ways, we got to rid ourselves of the ways we have covered ourselves in trusting somebody else to guide us. And we have to trust that the word of the Lord that is inside of you can change this government. Oh, see, I hear it. Thank you. I heard that. Thank you, Jesus. Some of y'all thinking, where's he going with this? Some of, this don't make no sense. You're trying to put this in the government. Hear me first. Whew, hallelujah. God, you're so good. I thank you. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Whew, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, let's go to 19. Let's go to 19. He crossed over. He cried out before he struck the Jordan. I did this last time. He says he cried out, now I pray in the name of God, the Elijah's God, right? Not his God, not God the Father, but the God of Elijah. Still second guessing whether or not he had the authority to move. Now, when he crosses over, I want to show you something about a generation that is rising up today. Hear me, hear me. This gets real good. The Bible's good. Y'all should read it. It's funny. Then the man of the city said to Elisha, behold, now the situation in the city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and is unfruitful. Wait a minute. Behold, now the situation of this city is pleasant. It's pleasant. But the water is bad. How is that pleasant? If you don't have water in your body, you are going to die. Watch something about Elisha here. Watch this. He said, bring me a new jar. He could have said, just bring me a jar. Bring me a new jar. See, everybody wants to preach on the new wine. They want to preach on the new vessels, the new wineskin. But what about the times that are getting so bad that you just bring me a jar, but not just any jar. Don't bring me the one where you just scrape out all the jelly or peanut butter and then you bring it and put it in there. No, bring me a new jar. In other words, you're going to have to go and put it in the kennel and create yourself something new. The process can never be done away with. Bring me something new. Go make me a new jar. Don't bring me something that's stored up in your house. Bring me something new. Go through the process of making something new. Then bring it to me. Some are going to get it, some aren't, but it's all right. We're going to keep on trekking. Then what he does with the jar, he puts salt in the jar. Come on. He puts salt Come in on. The jar. And then he goes out to the river and says, uh-huh. Okay. Good water now. Good water now. He said, how are we getting all this thing? But the government. If we take the salt out of the government, you're the salt of the earth. Your waters are not going to be healthy and fruitful. Sometimes it takes a prophetic voice to come in and say, bring me something new that this government has never seen or done before. Something new so that I can do something different and put the salt of the earth back into something that's fresh and new. And when I put it into something that's bitter and old and it's not fruitful, it will become fruitful. This is government. Prophets were only used to speak to kings. Cut the prophets out of the presidency. Guess what happens to the country? Get me all mad about the government now. Oh, this is good. Verse 22. So the waters have been purified to this day, according to the word of Elisha, which he spoke. Then he went up from there to Bethel. As he was going up by the young lads, came out. This is cold right here. This is cold. Elijah just did a major miracle concerning this area. He changed the region. Matter of fact, because Elisha was there, he brought life back into that region that was about to die because there was no water that was fruitful. Okay, now here we go now. 23. As he was going up, by the way, young people, say people. People, young people, came out from the city and did what? Mocked the prophet. Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald. Why y'all looking at my head? It's just receding. It ain't bald yet. Man, they drove the bus on you, Mark. I'm sorry, man. They drove the bus on you. But watch. Number 24. Read what 24 says. When he looked behind him and saw them, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. What? He cursed these young boys, young lads, young people. In the name of the Lord, why? Because they were mocking the prophetic voice of a nation. When you want to come against a prophetic word, hold up y'all's Bibles or your electric devices that you have. That is prophecy. That is the prophetic word of God. So when it comes under attack and is mocked, God can turn around and say, I shall curse it because you are touching my prophets. Prophecy. Don't look at the man. Prophecy. Government. Well, I'm all in the government right now. Oh, okay, I wasn't going that direction, but I'm going to stay in it like this. Oh, yeah. So he cursed them. Two, what?
She bears.
Not Sheba. Not, what is it, Sheba? It was she bears. Two she bears. Why would they say female bears, she bears? Oh, you can't cross that about a lioness and a bear. The bear is more the male bear is more territorial than the female. The female is only supposed to be fruitful and care for the young. So why would the female bears be the one that God called out of the woods to eat these lads? Tore them to pieces. What did I say a couple weeks ago? I said, all you women, stand up. God is calling women to the forefront, guys. Because they know how to travail through. And when you touch the little ones, you'll see something come out of these women. Touch not my children. This government has been messed with for too long. Do you know why they keep going to Hillary Clinton? Some of y'all think, what? It ain't never be a woman. Y'all said it never be a black man either. Twice. You don't control the outcome. God does. Elisha's cold. Now he done blessed the whole nation and they're all saved now. And now these boys, they're the one making fun of him just because he's bald. Because he was bald. And he curses them and they get eaten up. We need some Elishas to stand firm. So we're not taking this no more. You touch the people of God, I curse you in the name of the Lord. I curse you in the name of the Lord. Okay, y'all are looking at me like, what happened? I love you. Okay, yep. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Oh, this is good. Let's go to verse 9, or 2 Kings 9. 2 Kings 9. Let me kind of put this together for you. These are three kings that came together. They came together. They united. Did you hear that? Alliances. Did we miss that one?
No.
Some alliances took place. Some alliances took place. So the king of Israel, that's Israel is the church. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah. That's another part, Judah, part of the church. And the king of Edom, and they made a circuit for 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the army or for the cattle that followed them. Do you see that? Verse 9. 2 Kings 3, verse 9. I said, verse 9. Y'all better follow me. 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 9. There are no bears. No bears. 2 Kings 3, verse 9. Are we there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. There's agreement. Now watch, watch. Y'all didn't say nothing when I was reading either. Y'all are funny. They walked around for 7 days journey, and there was no water for the army or for the cattle that followed them. Right? So he's already made an indication here in the word. The army had cattle, and there was no water for the army and the cattle. Correct? Okay. Verse 10, then the king of Israel said, alas, for the Lord has called these three kings to give them into the hand of Moab. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat is here, who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Now when things get bad, I'm hot. Maybe it's not you, but I'm hot. When things get bad, now they want to go inquire of God. Oh, wait, now I need a prophet. Now I need a prophet. Now I need to know, since we have this alliance now, and things just ain't working, we sure are running out of water. Not just for the army, but our cattle too. Now let's go see if God can step in. See, this, it was just the timing. It was just the timing. Yep. Mm-hmm. Verse 12. Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Now Elisha said to the king of Israel, what do I have to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and to the prophets of your mama. See, he said, your mama. Now, do you know that these are kings? They had the authority and the right to kill him. They had the right to kill him. Now, Elisha done lost his mind. He's talking to these kings this way. Mm-hmm. And the king of Israel said, no, no, no. For the Lord has called these three kings together to give them into the hand of Moab. Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom, what? I serve. In other words, my God, not your God. My God. Oh, now y'all want God. You're going to get my God then. Watch what his God says. Mm-hmm. Were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not even look at you. Well, that's some cruel stuff right there. Did y'all read what I just read? This is the prophet saying, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look at you. Now, you know, if you were going to go seek advice from somebody and they were to talk to you that way, you know what we do today? I don't need you that bad. I'm with three kings. I can do this myself. Not every alliance was supposed to be made. Say, America? America. Not every alliance was supposed to be made. Hear me. Mm-hmm. You ever wonder why some people are no longer with you? Just saying. Not everyone's supposed to be with you. Okay. This is cold right here, verse 15. Y'all reading with me? Yeah, right? But now bring me a minstrel. Now you have three kings. Will, Joseph, y'all stand up, stand up, stand up. Now, I could picture Baldy just standing there, and they're coming. They're in desperate need of water. Act like y'all are like thirsty. They walked around for 7 days. 7 days. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, the three kings. Three kings in the desert. They got no water for the army or for their cattle. And then he says, hey, hey, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look at y'all. They're so desperate, like, hunk here. Honey?
Water.
So then he tells them, hey, go get me some music. Bring me a minstrel. What? We have issues here. I can see all those men out there and all that cattle. There ain't no water. There's no water. What you want music for? That's because, you know, that's how we would respond. You know why he needed a minstrel? To quiet his nerves. Because I don't want to do this for y'all. But God and, oh, the music settled the mind. Not that the guy wasn't going to speak, but Elisha wouldn't have been able to hear God. It settled his spirit so he can hear God clearly. You ever wonder why music sometimes gets prophets in a mood? Because it's biblical. Mm-hmm. It stirs something up inside. So now Elisha's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I feel that. Yeah. You know what song they were playing? Give me Send the Rain. Give me Send the Rain. It fits.
Yeah.
What? We're in Kings. So now he put on his iPod. He put the iPod on. He's listening to it.
Every time you praise him,
every time
it starts dividing the clouds above you.
They're thirsty.
I smell the rain. Come on, Pastor Wyman's, tell me what you
And they're like,
about. You know, Pastor Brown, the Bible says in First Kings,
what?
The 18th chapter, and Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Come on.
Can't you hear the rain? So now this whole time, can't you hear the rain? I hear the rain. Oh, I hear the rain. In a dry and lonely place, I can hear the rain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you what the Lord says. The word of the Lord says unto you, dig the ditches.
Uh-huh.
Did y'all miss that? Dig the ditches. Now, they've already walked around, all of them and the cattle. No more water. This is an army. This isn't no expedition. They didn't carry shovels. Act like you're digging. Come on, act like you're digging. Come on, dig, dig, baby, dig. My question to all of you, where did they get the energy? Say it again. Desperation. They had to trust the word of the prophet. They had to trust it. Not that they've ever witnessed it before. Let it play. Keep on digging. Hey, don't you stop.
I hear the rain.
That's right. Keep going.
In every dry and
now, some things
rain,
come your way
I can hear the
and makes you do things you would never expect to do. Even in the midst of the drought, when everything else kind of just goes away, he makes you do something that you would never expect. Now, in the scripture, they said they had to go dig. It would be one thing to go to the prophet. There's no water in the land. But if they saw the clouds that rain was coming, they would have never went to the prophet. They would have stayed right where they were at. So in other words, you know how the summer is here in San Antonio. There was no clouds in the sky. There was no indication that rain was going to come. So they're digging. If you continue on reading, you see that the next morning, at the time of sacrifice, hello? Sacrifice, the water came down from the mountain and filled their ditches. Do you understand? If we don't have a prophet in the land to declare to bring the waters back into the land, then we're never going to be able to get past this whole issue of not having enough for the United States of America. This is the land of opportunity. This is the land where God has established his covenant with. It's real. And because he established the covenant, he's going to see it to the end. To the very end. But they had a responsibility to dig. How is it that when you have kingdoms that come together, that they don't want to turn to America's God? They want to turn to their God. But there's coming a time, that the kingdoms abroad will turn to the God of this land that is connected with the God of Israel. We need a prophetic voice back in government. That means all of you. Don't look for one individual. The days of Elijah and Elisha have not gone because his spirit is here. You have to grab hold of that spirit. Put that mantle on. In other words, rip off your old clothes and put on the mantle of Elisha and go into the government and make change. If you have kids that are now starting to read about all this type of, oh my God, evolution, we've evolved from an ape. No, we did not. But now we're scientists. Oh, we're talking about this. We're scientists of today have found fault in the scientists of before. But guess what? The government does not want to change it because then it will show falsehood all the way across. So why would we have to go and tell the truth in the school system? Let's just leave a lie in the system. What did I read in the very beginning? Did not Isaac lie? But did not God bless him? Did not our government lie? Our government's going to get blessed. God is in the details, guys. You have a responsibility when God speaks to you to dig the ditches. Keep digging. They didn't even have the instruments to dig, but they dug. But they weren't digging for themselves. They were also digging for a nation to be established there. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. We can't quit, guys. We can't. I don't care who is put in office. But the foreigner was brought back in that story. God came back into that government to establish that nation. Do you understand? That's what I'm saying. The foreigner, which is God, is coming back to this nation. But it takes you, the government, to speak. And when they say, well, we want to teach the kids about how evolution started, shut your mouth. My taxes pay for what goes into the schools. There is a bill, House Bill 33. You got to look it up. That's going to give the rights of the taxpayers to choose. To choose. Look it up, House Bill 33. It's on the voting blocks now, correct? Right now. It's for your children. And you have a right and a say-so. You have a right and a say-so on how much money is allocated to the school system concerning your child. But you know, have you noticed it's not even been published? They're not even talking about it. Oh, but for every other election, you hear it all over places, all in your yards, on the fences and everything. But for this, concerning the generation?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, they don't want to say no. Why? Because the system, the school system, the government will lose money. Mm-hmm. So when I saw the image, I'm back where I was. I saw the building in Hong Kong. God said that he's getting back into the system of wealth, the monetary system. Did he not say in his word that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous? There's change. And it ain't over yet. If you've been believing and sowing and sowing and sowing, the Bible says that Isaac reaped in that same year. In 2012, you will reap your blessing. It will not go over to 2013 and say, where did the year go and I didn't get blessed? This is the year of government, government authority, and government alignment. God is bringing together the people that understand I have sowed this whole year, but my year is not over yet. I sowed in the time of famine, and I'm going to reap in the time of famine. Amen. It ain't over with. You're going to get what is rightfully yours. For some people that have that, I'm wealthy, I'm good, I don't need it, but I can be a blessing. Yes, but what money cannot buy is what you're going to get. Yes. There's a shift that is taking place. And that shift takes place like when we can sit here at a minister's dinner and all of a sudden the spirit just shifts. Something makes me push my plate away, you know it's God. Oh, you can laugh, it's true. And it was good food. I had like 3 plates. Well, 3 is resurrection, 3 is the number of God. I pushed that thing away, and my wife looked at me like, uh-oh. Her heart started going, did you get some? Mm-hmm. What is it? I don't know. I felt the spirit so strong. I look over to my, we're sitting right in front of the cross. The table's right in front of the cross. I look over to my right. I see my mama run to the restroom. I said, Lord Jesus, something's up. We had a chef that was in here. The chef had on his white coat. That white coat had a saying that was written on it. It was called Chef of what? House of Manna what? House of Manna Chef of America. I saw that white coat go and turn the music on. The minstrel came into the room and the glory hit this room. Then not just one person said, I can't breathe. No. The kabod glory of God is the weighty presence of God. When that presence hit last night, all of us are like, I can't catch my breath. I'm trying to sing. Oh, you know, I can't sing, but I'm trying. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I see other people, you know, holding onto their chest. Like, what's going on? After it's all said and done, presence of God so strong. I don't know how many songs we went through, and we're just fellowshipping. That's all we're doing. God begins to speak so strong. So strong. And I'll tell you what the Lord told me. This would be the last feast in this building. We are going somewhere. And the next place will be a place where I have my commercial kitchen.
Yes, amen.
A banquet hall, yes, not the fellowship hall, banquet hall. Yes, and so that when the visiting pastors and dignitaries, Jesus, presidents, governors, yes, yes, mayors, yes, the elect come to what is it? They will be entreated by something that is called the love of God. Amen. That they will inquire of you. What is it in here? Do you understand? Now, I've been praying for these kids to have their own building. That glory hit so strong. He talked to a lot of people. He talked to a lot of people individually. We're going to move out of this place. Out of this place. To our own building. Our own land. And we'll continue to dig ditches. We'll continue to bring the water. And we'll continue to be a voice that is crying out in the wilderness. Yes. For a Savior to come. Amen. 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 Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that your word is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you for your insight and your revelation knowledge, Lord. I thank you that we have an understanding that your word is so ever real in our life. And I thank you that it is life, sustaining life. Father, I just thank you for each and every individual that's in this house right now that is not going to quit. They're not going to back away. And they're not going to stop progressing forward. They're going to hold on to the prophetic word, the promise that you have promised unto us, that we shall be a blessing. And Father, I just thank you right now in advance for the blessings of God to be released into their life, Father. And whatever's been clogged up, Lord, that we will just dig the ditches and unclog the wells, but we will see the flowing resources of God in our life. And for those that are in this room that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to accept them into your heart today with a simple prayer, because it's simplicity that brings salvation to a people that are in need of a Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Father, I come before your throne of mercy. I repent of my sins, and I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and he died on the cross and was buried. But on the third day, he resurrected and now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. I thank you, God, for the shed blood of your Son Jesus that was bought me, redeemed me out of the pit of hell. Now my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I too can be in paradise with my Father and worship Jesus as my Lord. Now, if you have prayed this prayer for the first time, your name is written in that book, the Lamb's Book of Life. And for some of you that have said it, you said it for the first time and said, you know what, I'm just going to trust God. Then amen. That is necessary for every believer of Christ in the kingdom of God. And I want you to get connected. Get connected to people that can help pray you through and be there and stand with you, because they want to get you to a place that you've never been, but a place that you're destined to go. Amen. God bless you. I love you. You may be seated. Miss Katrina is going to do the tithes and offering. Oh, I'm sorry. As the girls get the envelopes and the pens together, and I know we have donuts and coffee back there, I wanted to get into this thing really quick because I felt it was something of importance. Not that the word isn't, I'm just saying, but I could feel, you know, I could feel the importance of it. Go ahead.
Wow. Miss Pastor Inez stepped away. Miss Pastor Inez called me the other day and asked me to do the tithes. I didn't tell her, but probably about 3 hours before that, the Lord started dealing with me with tithes and talking to me about tithes. And I was like, okay, I know he wants me to do this. I just said, okay, you know. But when Pastor Inez did the tithes, I don't know if you guys wrote the scriptures down. I hope you did. But she came from Deuteronomy the 8th and 9th, and it was talking about our forefathers and stuff like that, and us receiving. And today, Pastor talked again about Deuteronomy the 8th. And if you go to turn to me to Malachi 3 and 10, we always go to that scripture, but I want you guys to write a few other scriptures down as well. I'm sorry. Okay, Malachi 3. Well, I started with verse 6. He said, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed, even for the days of your fathers, yet are gone away from my ordinance, and I have not yet kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye shall, wherefore shall we return? When a man rob God," how do we rob God? We rob him in our tithes and our offering. And when it's talking about Deuteronomy, if you go back to Deuteronomy 8, he's talking about our forefathers. There are things that our mothers and our mothers and fathers before them started to pray. So he also took me to Daniel this morning when he got up here to pray. I pay attention to scriptures. And he got up here to pray, and he said, "Let's go to Isaiah 61. I was like, "Oh my God." He was all into what God had showed me, because Daniel went to Isaiah 61, verse 10, I believe it was. And God had just had me in Isaiah 61 this morning. Y'all bear with me too, because I need y'all to hear this so you know how important it is for the tithes. Daniel went to Isaiah 61, verse 9. Well, he had me in Isaiah 61, Daniel went to verse 10. I was in 9. He said, "And their seed shall be known amongst the Gentiles, and their offsprings amongst the people, and that they shall acknowledge them, and that they are the seed which is the Lord have blessed them." Well, I'm telling y'all all of this because when I was little, my mom used to tell us about tithing. I really didn't understand the impact of tithing, but I tithe. You know, and my kids, if they get money, they have to tithe. That's the first thing they have to do is tithe. But until I began to understand the word, I understand when he's talking about how he rebukes the devil for your sake. I mean, how he does things because of the tithing. You know, and sometimes it becomes a struggle to tithe, but I know that's the first thing I need to do is to tithe, because he also says in Malachi 3:10, when we do this and we bring this unto the Lord, he say, "There be meat in my house." He's talking about God's house, and he'll have meat in your house, you know. And I can stand up here for a while and tell y'all over and over and over, I know that he rebuked some things for me, off of me, because of my tithing. And when she called me this week to ask me about that, I can't remember what day it was, but I was just thinking, I was like, "Lord, you know, enough is enough." You know, he knows how serious I am about my tithing, and my tithing have been up and it's been down, but I like to tithe my 10. Sometimes I try to do 20%, you know, because I just know that my tithe is set in seed. Not say I tithe to do this for this to happen, but I'm so accustomed to doing it because I know that by me doing that, he takes care. Then if you go over to Proverbs 3:6, when he's talking about that offspring, you go to Proverbs 3:6, he took me to, he said, "Honor the Lord with the substance, with the first fruit of all that increase." I don't know about y'all. I work, but I don't punch a clock. I don't know it. I do 40 hours, I'm making X amount of dollars. You know what I mean? So with all of this, it's just all making sense about my tithing. I have to give him what belongs to him. I'm not giving it to Pastor Nim, but as long as I take care of God's house, he's going to take care of my house. And I can't tell y'all how he continued to take care of my house when I don't even see it. You know, I don't even see it. You was just all, you know, Pastor said, God is speaking. God is speaking so loud right now and so clear, even to the point when you talked about that insurance. You know, when insurance being canceled, you know what I mean? And then I go to the people to pay it. They can't even find it that it's being canceled. That's rebuking the devourer. You know what I mean? Oh, I have to make some arrangements on a bill, and they're like, "Oh, no problem, Miss Green." I'm worried, but I was like, "Lord, you got to work this out." That's because I pay my tithes. That's because, you know, when I look at the end of the month and I look at everything that goes on, I've gotten to a point now, I have a register and I'm writing everything down as I pay stuff. Because when I look at what's coming into my hands, it ain't there, but he meets my needs and gives me some of my wants. So I ask you guys to go in the back of this Bible. If you got a concordance, I mean, this made me last time Pastor Inez got up and she did tithing, and she brought some scriptures out that I never even knew. All I knew Malachi 3:10. Go in there and get those tithing scriptures, because it'll start. You go to one thing, and then you look up, you're going to something else. Then it leads you to something. I'm like, wow, it's all crystal clear. So if y'all don't leave with, if y'all left with anything today, believe and leave with knowing how important it is to pay your tithes. You know, the sickness won't come on us because we tithe. You said something even earlier. I turned around and looked at the kids, because on our way over here yesterday, I was doing this thing. What are y'all saying? What are we saying? You know, we're going to play a game. What are you saying? And they was looking like, Mom, what are you talking about? I said, wealth and riches is in my house. That's what I'm saying. What are we saying? I'm speaking what this is. Such and such and such and such. You know, no secret sickness lives in my body. By his stripes, I am healed. And we kept going around. You know, Jeremiah had a little rebellious spirit. So I say, and I rebuked the rebellious spirit off of Jeremiah in the name of Jesus. That's what I'm saying, you know. So me and Miracle began to just keep on saying. What are we saying? What are y'all saying? What are you saying? I'm going to say what this say. I'm going to say what this B-I-B-L-B-L-E say. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm saying. What the B-I-B-L-E say. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to say I'm a seed of Abraham, and I have an inheritance that's coming to me. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. By his stripes, I am here. I live in abundance. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Amen. Grace and mercy shall follow me, and it's overtaking me. It's running over me. Grace and mercy is running before me. It's trying to catch me. That's what I'm saying. Amen. Get your tithes ready.